Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are brought to you each and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad.
We love those guys. They can help you with so much, like estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on all things social. Mike, you're on in D.C. Grant and Danny, great to have you back on the program. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Very well.
Doing well. I was thinking about you, wanted to get you on because Roger Goodell, in an interview on German television, said that there's no doubt in his mind that there's going to be a team that plays all of its games out of in an international, basically home stadium, that there will be an international NFL team. Do you buy that, or is that posturing in some way?
No, I think I do buy it. And he actually said teams. And I think if they would ever move a team or expand, and I think expansion is the far more likely outcome, to a place like London, I think they would put two teams in London. I can't imagine an odd number of teams. The NFL did that by necessity from 1999 through 2001. That was when the Browns came back, part of the negotiated exit from Cleveland, when the Browns became the Ravens and the Browns became the Browns in 1999, and then the Texans arrived in 2002. So I think it would be two teams, and I believe it would be expansion. And I think the way I look at it, it is the statement that officially asterisk puts expansion on the table, because that's the only way it would happen. Cannot imagine a team relocating. And it would be multiple teams, and I think it would come through expansion. Now, there's no timeline applied, so between now and infinity, yes. But it's the clearest statement I've ever seen any NFL official or team official make, indicating that there will be a team on foreign soil.
But, Mike, if you're going to add teams, why not give St. Louis and San Diego or some other market like Austin a team?
Well, and who's to say they wouldn't ultimately do that, too? I think the long-term vision, and I think it'll take a while to get there, if they start adding teams beyond 32, would be 40. But I think they're going to look at these international markets. They saw what the World Cup did. They've seen what the international growth has done. They're committed to this for the long haul. This is something that if they could ever get the global crowd as excited about pro football as the American populace is, this billion-dollar business becomes a trillion-dollar business. And they see what soccer is. Yep. And I remember a time when people thought that football would never catch baseball in the U.S. And I lived through the decades where football systematically caught baseball in popularity and has since left it in the dust. So they're committed to this over the long haul. And it's just a question of the right time, the right moment to identify the proper venue. And they've got two NFL-ready stadiums in London right now. And really, any place in Europe where they play a game is technically NFL-ready, because it has to have all the technology in place to allow the game to be played, to allow replay to happen in real time. So, yeah, I think that they see greater growth potential long-term for the sport if they would put teams outside of our borders.
So, and Mike Florio with us here on G&D, you just touched on the logistics of it, because somebody brought up earlier and we were just kind of kicking this around. Yeah, but who's going to build them a stadium? And I kind of thought it was to what you just said. Don't they kind of already have stadiums at the ready that can be football stadiums during, you know, English football or soccer to us during their off seasons? Won't it already kind of be ready made there?
Yeah, it's ready to go. I think the logistical issues deal more with having a significant number of employees who are stationed full-time in these other countries. Will there be guys who get drafted by a non-U.S. team who say, screw that, I'm not going to London or Germany or wherever else there may be a team? And you have issues like exchange rates, tax rates, you've got travel, although there are efforts to bring back supersonic travel, and the NFL has been monitoring those. There was an item in the Wall Street Journal at some point in 2025 regarding the NFL paying very close attention to that. And if they really want to do it, they'll just find a way to do it. They are chasing something bigger then how easy or difficult it would be to have teams in these places. They want the game to be global. I think the World Cup experience, if the NFL was paying attention, should have gotten their eyes open to what football could become with the proper investment, and they seem to be willing to make it. And then, you know, you find somebody who's extremely rich, it'll pay the expansion fee to have these teams in other countries. And once they start down that path, I don't think there'll be any stopping where the NFL goes.
So the one of the things I was thinking about also is I watch my sons, for example, and all of their friends, and you know, so many people in this area here in D.C., Richmond, and beyond, they're fans of the English Premier League for soccer. They've never been to Tottenham. They've never been to Liverpool or any of these places, but they follow this league religiously. And doesn't have to be a team here, though, for that. Is the NFL able to kind of export that way as well, but even kind of to lay the groundwork for having a team maybe in London?
Well, we're 20 years into this experiment where the NFL plays games that count in other countries. And look at where it's gone from one game a year to 9, 10. They want to get up to 16 under the CBA. That's one of the key concessions the NFL is looking to get from the union, because currently the CBA limits the NFL to 10 international games per year. So they've decided the only way to truly capture the imagination of fans is to give them a local team to rally around and to root for. I mean, really, anybody that loves the NFL, there aren't any Rob Lowe fans out there that go buy an NFL hat and wear it to games. They become a fan of a team, and the passion and that drama and the nonstop interest fuels their interest in the sport at large. So you got to have a team that you get behind. And I think the NFL recognizes that may be the way to finally break through, to give these communities beyond our borders a reason to become very passionate about supporting their team and in turn consuming everything they can about the NFL.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. How surprised were you in 2026 that the Bills had as many issues with sight lines at their stadium than they did? Because as the Commanders get ready to put shovels in the ground here in D.C., you can imagine in town our eyes were on that story.
Well, and the way that the architect of the stadium explains it, this was always part of the plan because they wanted to construct a stadium that got the crowd as close as possible to the field, in part to generate maximum noise that will enhance the home field advantage that the Bills will have in that new stadium. And I think the problem is, and this is why they've agreed to address the concerns raised by the fans, starting with the first practice they had in that stadium last Saturday night, the week before the preseason opener, they're going to look at every one of these concerns, because when you sell the PSL through a virtual product that gives the people an idea of what the seat is going to look like, and then they show up and it possibly looks very different because there's a big plexiglass panel and a railing in the way because the stairs are all pressed together with the seats, that's when you have a problem. That's when you open yourself up to a potential claim that you sold me something that is very different from what I agreed to buy when I bought this 30-year PSL that gets attached to the price I have to pay for season tickets every year. So, you know, they downplayed it by saying it was less than 1% of the total PSL account holders, but one of the reporters in Buffalo said it affects about 500 seats. That's a lot. That's a lot. And they need to clean that up and clear that up, especially if they knew all along it was going to be an issue. And it's almost like they hoped it wouldn't become a big deal. But for those 500 people who showed up and sat down and were staring right at a railing or a big plexiglass sheet, it becomes an issue.
Yeah, so let's say you do buy their numbers, like if it's 1%, then maybe it's 50 people. Oh my God, 50 people are looking at railings, kind of at your point, or behind obstructions. It really is unfathomable, especially with how boisterous the state was to say, yep, let's make sure we're paying for this. That's kind of the part that I wouldn't be able to, that wouldn't sit well with me if I was a Bills fan there. Is there anything that New York State can do about it?
Well, it's too late now. The stadium's built. They just need to take care of the people who have the concerns. And here's the reality. If you disclose this ahead of time and you price the seats accordingly, somebody's going to buy it.
Right.
You know, they've got seats that, and there was one example, the AP writer up there found what he called the worst seat in the house, and you couldn't see the far end of the stadium. They're never going to sell that seat for football, they say. That'll be available if there's a concert where the stage is at the end of the structure where you can actually see what's going on. But there's somebody who's going to pay whatever the price is. You set the right price point. somebody's going to pay to be part of the experience. They're going to pay to get there. The worst seat in the house is better than the best seat not in the house. So I think it all comes down to acknowledging to yourself and to your customers that there is going to be a sightline issue, disclosing it, setting a price that makes it fair, and somebody's going to pay for it.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk on Grant and Danny. Mike, as you can imagine, here in the district, we've been talking a lot about Jaden Daniels being at odds with LSU over the last several days. I'm curious how you would have handled it differently if you were Daniels' camp.
There are certain points where you just have to take the high road and you just have to let something go, even if you're upset about it. I'll give you an example. Back when Jerry Rice was still playing and he signed with the Seahawks, he wanted to wear number 80. Number 80 is his number. That's the number he's always worn. Well, they've retired that number for Steve Largent. Steve Largent, now years after the fact, tells a funny story about how he never agreed to let his number be unretired. But next thing you know, he's agreed to let Jerry Rice wear number 80. And what did Steve Largent do about it? He did absolutely nothing. There's a point where you just have to accept the fact that nothing good comes from taking a position that some people will regard as petty and standing in the way of whatever the team is trying to do moving forward. Now, it's the team's fault always if they retire a number and then they unretire it. In the Daniels situation, I think all flows to Brian Kelly. He made multiple promises that couldn't be kept because they conflict with each other. He smoothed it over last year, as smooth as he possibly could, by telling the guy that was issued number 5 that, nope, it's going to be number 3 instead. And now Lane Kiffin, he doesn't care. He wants his guy to stick around. And I guess that, and I've heard rumblings, DJ Pickett was just going to leave if they didn't give him number 5 this year. So it's an LSU problem. But when you react to it, and in this case, it was an overreaction when you look at the letter from the lawyers and the statement that was issued by the camp, you just can't do that. You just have to lump it and move on. There's nothing that's going to come from it to your benefit. And if anything, if you say nothing and then all of a sudden a guy's wearing number 5, that's when others will say, hey, didn't they promise that to Jaden Daniels? And then the blowback's only going to hit LSU. When you're the one that comes out strong against it, you're just opening the door to get dragged. And look at how he's been dragged. I mean, he's never going to get past this. And it's been something that's been poked fun at by baseball teams, soccer teams, you name it. It's everywhere. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. It's going to last well past the point that it's funny and everybody's getting in on it. So it's a valuable lesson to any other person who had a number retired for them officially or unofficially. When that thing gets reissued, your best play is to not say a word.
From your law background, from the cease and desist standpoint, I'm wondering about the 180-day period on using his NIL. I guess if that's in writing, that's winnable from his standpoint, right? Because there have been a lot of guys that have gone after schools after the fact and lost. It would seem to me, after you've been somewhere and you've gotten millions from a program, like, they got to be able to use your name, image, and likeness. But I guess that's just from when you were there, and then after 180 days, like, they can't use your highlights from your big performance against the Bengals on screen? How does that work?
Hey, this all started, this whole NIL thing got rolling because of Ed O'Bannon suing EA Sports over his name, image, and likeness being used in the college basketball game that was out at the time. And I don't even think they've brought that back yet. And that was the thing where people first realized that there's a path to getting players paid through their name, image, and likeness. And it was just one domino after another that culminated in the entire college sports system being blown up and being exposed for the widespread antitrust violation that it is. And everything the NCAA does is an antitrust violation. So if you're not compensating someone after the fact, then, you know, it all comes down to what the contracts say and what the contract law is in the various states. And it may be ultimately toothless. It's all that maybe he had in order to push back. It was a way to manifest his frustration. So I don't know, and I haven't researched how Louisiana law would apply to this or how federal law would get involved. I just think it was a way to vent, and it was a way to just make it clear they weren't happy, and it was something tangible they could do to fight back when they felt like they'd been lied to, and they had been lied to. But again, you got to be careful about that reaction. Because if you overreact, or if you react at all, you're opening yourself up to criticism.
Mike, I'd ask you, what's the latest with Terrion Arnold, his saga and the Seahawks flirtation that's kind of been, I'm surprised, frankly, it's been documented as it has on Hard Knocks. Even mentioning that just seems to open up a whole series of questions. What's going on there?
None of this makes any sense. Look, if Terrion Arnold was good enough to justify keeping him around while these 8 felony charges arising from an alleged armed robbery and kidnapping, which apparently happened, the question is, was Terrion Arnold involved in it? There was property stolen from a house he rented in Florida, and a group of people took matters into their own hands and went and tried to seize the stuff back, and it turns out the people that they targeted didn't even steal the stuff. It just sounds like a plot line from a Fargo series. But the fact that the Lions cut him, you know, that's the ultimate litmus test. Like, they've known him for 2 years. They know what he can do. And they cut him once this hit the fan. And I was surprised anybody was interested in him. But, you know, what happens is people fall back on their evaluation of a player coming out of school. And, you know, you can make the argument, well, Arnold didn't fit in the Lions' defense. Maybe he'll fit better in a different defense. It's more premised on zone, yada, yada. But I knew all along there was a risk he's going to be put on the commissioner exempt list if and when he's on a team. And lo and behold, that's now coming out. And I don't know if the Seahawks misjudged it. On last week's Hard Knocks, the GM, John Schneider, was telling the coach that they believe he's going to be allowed to play in the preseason. Well, now it's coming out. No, he's going straight on the commissioner exempt list. So why are you paying somebody to be on your team? Why are you devoting salary cap space to that player? Even if it's the minimum salary, why are you doing that for a guy who can't play? Why not wait until he gets, if he gets, clearance to return to the NFL unaffected by these charges? So it just is weird to me. And the fact that Mike McDonald, the coach of the team, had been kind of equivocal in things he said last week. And now, I don't know if they're looking for an off-ramp from this. I don't know if they just misplayed their hand. And hovering over all of it is they got a new owner who's due to be approved next Wednesday. It's really not the kind of first impression you want to make. You don't want to come off as bumbling when a new owner is rolling up to assess everything. Even though they've just won the Super Bowl, a new owner is going to be paying attention. And this just seems like an unforced error by the Seahawks. It just makes no sense whatsoever for them to do this at a time when he's not going to be available to them. All he can do is attend meetings. He's not going to be able to practice. He's not going to be able to play. And there's no guarantee he's ever going to be able to practice and play until he gets this legal issue behind him.
I didn't even think about the new owner element. That's an interesting layer. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. We'll let you go. Tell us, though, what you got coming up. I know it's the one-year anniversary of the book as well.
Yeah, Big Shield's available actually for free today. Today's the one-year anniversary when it came out last year. 99-cent ebook, not the print edition. That's not free. Paper ain't cheap. But the ebook for 90, you can get it for nothing today. And we got a few other things in the pipeline that are coming up. You know, the writing for me now 6 years, it's just become the balance to the nonstop every day. And anybody's worked in newspapers knows this, like everything you write today by tomorrow, it doesn't mean anything. Everything you write tomorrow by the next day, it doesn't mean anything. So I stumbled into a world where you can write something. If anyone ever does read it, they don't have to read it today. They can read it next week. They can read it next year. They can read it in 10 years. And it's a nice refreshing break from this nonstop assembly line of covering the NFL where it is content, content, content every day, every day, every day. And we appreciate it in this business, as I'm sure you do, because it gives us plenty of stuff to talk about and write about.
That's amazing. I don't know how you have the battery for it. It's incredible. It really is prolific that you're able to do it. Mike, I appreciate you as always, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Be good. There's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, the quickest hanger-upper in the game.
Grant, that was adorable, by the way. Grant moved his hand over to the mouse to click hang up. I'm sure.
Well, normally, if you're a quick hanger-upper, you can't be thanked. So I often, the way that it would work is when you're done with the phone call, I will put you on hold.
Yeah.
And then Darius, Toby, whoever will pick up the phone and say, thanks for coming on. With Mike Florio, those guys don't even try to do that because there's zero chance they could actually get the phone to their ear in time to thank him. But at least I can generally get to my mouse and put him on hold.
Respectfully, you had no chance. That was Doc Holliday in his prime right there.
By the time the word thanks had come out of my mouth to Mike Florio's ears, gone.
Gone.
I don't know if he's doing the Will Smith bit. What's the movie? Pursuit of Happiness, where like he's trying to sell things, so he keeps his hand, like he keeps the phone on his ear the whole time so he could just hang up with his finger and it saves him like 3 calls a week or whatever. I don't know if he's doing that. He's on to the next city or if that's just There's something about the amount of time you spend before you hang up and probably the amount of success you have that's corollary. There's an efficiency to it.
Yeah, he and Mike Lombardi are the two fastest in human history. They are lightning quick.
Lombardi was very fast. I think Florio has surpassed him, though. I could at least put Lombardi on hold normally, and then he would immediately go away.
It was 50-50. You didn't always get him on hold.
But that right there,
yeah,
that was an all-timer.
Lightning downhill.
That was a Toby all-timer right there. Pro Football Focus says the Commanders have the worst offensive line in the NFL. Want to get into that next on G&D. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. All of our training camp coverage today. There's been a lot of it. Brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. My cousin and his kid were out at practice today. Got to bump into them at practice, texted me that they were there, and then he told me when they left that his little guy had gotten Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin's autograph today.
That's not a bad autograph haul.
Just kudos. The couple of people that I've known with kids out there have really done well with autographs.
Mm-hmm.
They've got this kids area, that this little like kid pen, they call it, where they set up the kids in their own little specific area. Normally, when we play interviews on the show, you can hear all the kids that are screaming and chanting the name of Jaden Daniels and players. But guys do a really good job signing for those kids. And I think that's what I loved when I was a kid, going out to practice,
getting to meet
players. And that builds fandom for a long time. So I want to give some love to Daniels and McLaurin and so many of the stars of the team that don't have to do that after these really hot, long practices, just going down the line, sometimes for 20, 30 minutes at a time, signing autographs. Really, really cool.
I love that. There's no immediate reward in that. I mean, obviously, you feel good, you sign for a kid, but that's the fan investment. You know what I mean? That's that kid then grows up to be a massive fan of the team, and there's your base.
Have you guys seen the way the Toronto Blue Jays established their draft order for their fantasy football league? This is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
So all I saw was a highlight video. I didn't get the audio, so I didn't get the full details, but I saw velocity slaps. You know what I mean? The dude's doing the, like, you know, you're ramping up to throw max effort off of the mound.
Well, speaking of max and max effort, so this will not surprise you that Max Scherzer was at the middle of this. I thought this was the coolest thing ever. So Scherzer's Blue Jays, they've got a 14-team league probably in their clubhouse where you go around, you find out who wants in. Now, I know that you can't bet in sports, so I'll assume that it's for absolutely nothing, or that there's a massive buy-in. One of the two.
Sure.
Probably absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the Toronto Blue Jays that are playing fantasy football, here's the way Max did it. So he wrote down the names of staffers on cards, okay? And then randomly, players on the Blue Jays drew cards out of a deck, and you would draw a name of one of the members on the staff. And then based on the order of who throws the hardest, they'd all go out onto the field and try to be the fastest velocity thrower from the mound. They did the order for the Blue Jays. So they're all gathered around. Manager of Toronto's big league club, John Schneider's got the gun behind home plate. It's the coolest video ever. Max is next to him screaming out the velocities. So let's just say the Nats did it. C.J. Abrams draws a card and it's Blake Butera. Butera's got to go out on the mound and throw the firmest, hardest pitch he can throw. And so Max is like, come on, risk the arm a little bit. So like someone's going, okay, they're touching 72 miles an hour. The next guy, and the guy that threw the hardest, by the way, was a assistant pitching lab coordinator, something, probably pitched in college or whatever. And I think he touched, I saw like 86 or 87 or something. So if you draw that guy, you know right away. Like he pitched 3 years ago. He still works out. Like, we got a shot.
This feels good, yeah.
Where a couple of these dudes are like, you get like the dumpy guy like me, who's like the R&D guy. He's throwing 64
miles. The guy that carries the bags.
You know, exactly.
Or a ground screw guy.
You heard a better way to do your draft than that?
It's pretty phenomenal.
What was so cool was all the baseball players were jumping around in the infield, like watching this. All the staffers in their khaki pants and their, you know, pullover jackets indoors at Rogers Center, like walking up onto the mound and like doing arm circles, getting their arms loose. And so then they would chuck the baseball as hard as they could. And I want to say you got 5 or 6 tries, because like the one guy was like ramping up 1 mile per hour each time, and Max and John Schneider are yelling like, come on, if you got to blow out the arm, do it. You're right there. You know, and they're trying to get him to max it out. But I just think that's the funniest thing in
so
the world.
Good.
Like Butera throws a pitch. You get Doolittle and you're like, oh, let's go. I drew Doolittle. He might still get it up to What do you think he could throw right now? 87?
Yeah, 86, 87. Guaranteed.
He might be able to get closer to 90. I don't know. He probably hasn't thrown in a little while.
Yeah.
Like Simon Matthews is in great shape, pitched at Georgetown. It's been a while. But could Simon Matthews touch 85, 86? I don't know.
You
probably.
Think? Yeah.
Definitely, right? So, but then maybe you draw like the clubby. Like just some dude who's like, you know.
The traveling secretary.
Exactly.
Like, damn
help him with the cleats or whatever.
Pick 12.
And now he's like 58. So I would have to imagine the way you do it is based on where you go 1 through 12 in the order, you get to pick your spot. Because if you're 12th, you get the snake. 12th and 13th pick. So you'd almost rather be 12th than like 7th. So it must be that you go 1 through 12 based on velocity, and then based on where you rank,
you pick your pick.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be how you do it, right?
That's how I would do it. Yeah, I've seen guys that are able to get together in person do like a combine.
Oh yeah.
So they do the like everything from the 40 to the, you know, the broad jump, do like a decathlon or kind of keep your score, or do like a any kind of testing or things like that. I love those sorts of things.
What can we do for the Grant and Danny Listener League that would be a fun way to establish a draft order? And also, I guess while we're on it, I have had my first few inquiries at Grant Paulson on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson on Instagram in the DMs. Where are we at on our fantasy football league? It's coming back, I'd imagine. This is a Darius Dameron venture. I always just go, I don't want anything to do with this time around. You go for it.
So but then you have to commit. You have to be the commissioner again.
Well, I think he's going to be the commissioner. Last year, I just put it on his desk.
Oh, you did. So what usually happens for us is we come up with an idea and it goes into the ether and then it's never heard from again. This actually happened.
No. So last year, I said to Darius, I think that was last year, I was like, I don't want, because everyone gets mad at me if they don't make the league and they hit me up to get it. I'm like, I don't want to be the bad guy.
Right.
I just don't want to be involved. I'm happy to be there. Tell me where the draft is, when it is.
And watch how much pizza
you're in charge. This is your baby. So
I've pretty much run the show the last 2 years now.
And so are we back? Are we good?
Sure. Yeah, we're back. We are still looking to get a venue, which would be a big part of it. It'll probably be first week of September.
So
would be our target area.
Our guy Mike from Pupatella said he can absolutely use Pupatella again for the venue. Hit me up this week.
Oh, well, there we go. We might have a venue then.
Look at this.
There will be pizza. There will be some fried appies.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be lots of Diet Coke.
Fried dough just sounds so good right now.
Indeed. So, okay, so let potentially Pupatella, but we'll workshop that.
Sure. See,
we got to run that by adults, and grown-ups have to be involved.
Somebody has to weigh in.
Are we going to have carryover participants? Are you doing a trivia challenge this year? How are you going to do the league?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, the champion from last year will be invited back, which I do have to check back and see who that was. And then, we'll do our normal, you know, open up a trivia contest to everyone. We'll try to change up the questions so it's different from last year.
Okay.
And we'll take the top scores and invite them back into the league this year.
And I think producers have a team.
Yeah, we'll have a producer's team.
Me and Danny have a team.
Correct.
So and then there'll be 12 open spots.
Yeah, because we wanted instead of opening up five spots, we opened up a bunch more. We're able to have more listeners in there
so
by sharing teams.
Right.
Yeah, and it'll be 11 open spots because one of those 12 spots will be last year's champion. As long as the defending champion wants to come back.
Champion. And still.
Was it us? Did we win the whole thing last year?
No.
Very possible.
Come on.
Well, I know we finished out of the producers. I know that was a thing.
That's always the case.
Yeah, that was something.
That's an annual tradition, unlike any other around these parts.
But I know they talked more than we did.
Oh, a lot of trash being
talked.
There's
a lot of comfort
producers.
Talking. Yeah.
They love chirping us on draft night, and they put together a horrible roster.
To be fair, I feel we've upgraded because we've now dropped Ryan Clary.
The outsized Jared Goff influence on from Team Clary.
Yeah, we don't have to. We're not obligated to take three Lions anymore. We now have a real, you know, other producer to join us in Ben Strober. So yeah, I think we feel a lot more confident this year.
The only issue you guys are going to have this year at the draft is where, you know, Clary was trying to draft like Terrion Arnold for some reason in the third round. Now with Strober, when the fourth round rolls around, he's going to be trying to take Will Riley or something. You know, he's going to be trying to talk you into Jody Meeks for some reason. And I just don't know why that is.
Toby's like, 1-1, we're going Bashal Tootin, Hiahokee. Like, he can't quit it.
Hashtag Hiahokee.
Well, I have an announcement for you, though.
Yes.
I will be forgoing my spot in the Fantasy Football League for Ryan Clary. Don't do fantasy. I'm out. Ryan Clary will take my spot.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Are you
anti-fantasy? What a swerve.
So anti-fantasy.
Wow. Occasionally, it's not often, Strober becomes this 85-year-old, 23-year-old. He shows up every now and then where he's like the oldest 23-year-old ever.
Uh-huh.
Like that kind of works. It's once every few weeks that you get one of these like sniffs, He's like the fact that he doesn't do There's fantasy one. Sports, that is definitely one. Like, every dude your age can't wait to do a fantasy draft and just get together out with the boys at a restaurant and eat pizza.
That should have come up in the interview process, by the way.
I will not be there that night. That's not fun to me.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking to find out.
He hates food. It's not meal prepped. So like there's fried dough and there's appetizers and there's pizza. That's not for him.
It's not grilled chicken and rice in a Tupperware tub from 2 days ago.
You know?
So it doesn't quite work for him.
Mm-hmm.
Clary back in. Just like that. Wow. This is like when you find out that your buddy broke up with a girl and you trash her and you're like, oh dude, she was so terrible. I couldn't stand her. And then he gets back with her. We just killed Clary for 5 minutes. And now, just like that, Clary's back.
How
in the
exciting is it that he's back?
I can't wait for Clary at the draft.
So happy to have him back part of the team.
You know what I love about Clary is all the Lions he drafts. I think that because they have a great offense.
They look, do.
Jameer Gibbs will be on his team.
I mean, that's pick one. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I want to talk about the Commanders' offensive line and why PFF thinks it's the worst offensive line in football next on Grant and Danny. PFF ranked the 32 teams in the NFL from top to bottom as it pertains to offensive line quality going into the season. And this was just done. So this is after the Laremy Tunsil injury. So this is a group of five, left to right. Brandon Coleman, Chris Paul, second year as a starter. Nick Allegretti, first year starting center. Played some guard here previously. Sam Cosmi, who's an entrenched veteran stud. And then Josh Connerly, year two, first round pick, drafted out of Oregon. PFF has the Commanders dead last, 32nd in the NFL. The Browns, who have a really bad line right in front of them with Spencer Fano, Zion Johnson, Elkton Jenkins, Tevin Jenkins, and Titus Howard. But Washington last, they write, Danny, before the injury to left tackle Laremy Tunsil, this was a group set to rank just inside the top 20, which to me would have been a tad low, but I get that.
I do
for
too.
Sure.
Yeah.
The loss of Tunsil as a significant blow to the group. There will be an expectation of some improvement from Josh Connerly. He had a 59.9 PFF grade in 2025 as a rookie. But this is a unit that could really struggle if Tunsil misses the full season, which I think we're kind of banking on him missing the majority of the year. So just going through it really quickly. Well, I'll wait. Your thought first on them being 32nd.
Whether you want to say they're 32nd or 28th or 31st or whatever, I think the point's the point. They're towards the bottom of the league. And I get how they got here. Again, 32, I couldn't tell you how much better or worse they are than the Tennessee Titans line, who was ranked 29, for example. But they're counting on a center. They had a center that started and was a $10 million a year guy that was very solid. I don't know if he was great or not, but Tyler Biadasz was here. They said, no, thank you. They're taking a guy that's only played left guard pretty much, saying, that's the center now. Somebody that couldn't get a whole bunch of money in free agency in Chris Paul and kind of came back here as your left guard. Brandon Coleman was fine at left tackle, but that's a pretty premium position. You don't have a premium player there. You got a guy that's your second choice. Go to Cosmi, who I think is their most accomplished and best lineman. No complaints there. I think he's plus. I think if all goes well, you know, he's a Pro Bowler. But Connerly, I like. Arrow's trending up, but for them, the grade's the grade. It doesn't account for somebody that was they had him at 59-something last year. Could be up 72 this year. That's a major jump forward, and that's a huge improvement. So you add it all up, and you go, uncertainty, poor play, yeah, they're towards the bottom of the league.
Yeah, I guess that's the way to look at it, maybe, is how sure are you, how confident are you in each of these guys? So to start with, like Brandon Coleman as an example, right? How sure are you in Brandon Coleman at left tackle? On a 1 to 10, 10 means he's going to be an all-pro. 1 means Daniels is going to get killed from the blind side every time he drops back. I am probably a 6 to a 6.5 on Coleman. Like, I actually think he's going to have a very solid season. I think he's better than when we last saw him. I think when we last saw him last year, he was pretty good. So Tunsil is the best left tackle they've had this side of Trent Williams, and he's a top 5 guy in the league. It's a huge loss. But I actually think Coleman is going to be fine for them. I'm not overly concerned. So I'm going to give him like a 6, 6.5.
It's a 5 for me, but it's the same principles apply, right? Where you go, I think he'll be fine. But I think you'll have to make sure he's helped. You have to make sure he's watched in certain matchups.
So would you say above average, average, or below average?
Right around average.
Okay. I'm going to say that's probably fair. I would lean to maybe a tick above average. But yeah, average is fine with me. Chris Paul, I think, is average to below average, possibly, based on the second half of last year. That's an area where if we want to go back to the 1 to 10 theory, I'm going to say I'm like a 4.5, 5 on Chris Paul.
Similar number there for me, yeah.
Nick Allegretti, I love his smarts, his acumen, the reason they're putting him there. I do worry about his durability a lot because he gets banged up and hurt. It seems like a lot. He's a physical mauling kind of guy. I'm going to say I'm a 5 on Nick Allegretti as well.
I'll probably get to a 5. Right now, I'm a 3.5 or 4 based on the injury, the fact that he's never really done it.
We're assuming health. Like, week one is coming up and everybody's on the field. And they're starting at 100% health.
Then I'll say 4, with the arrow trending up, knowing that that's going to go up.
Cosme, I'm a 7, 7.5 on.
Same.
I would even go 8, maybe, with Sam Cosme. Connerly's the super fascinating one, because the difference between what Josh Connerly could be with his upside, athleticism, ceiling, first-round pick, you know, all of the things that he can do that very few guys in the league can do just from a physical trait standpoint. You can dream on Josh Connerly, but the tape last year was not that great. And practices and camp and the joint practice against the Dolphins, really inconsistent. So I'm probably only like a 5.5 confident on Connerly right now. I think there's a world where I could get to a 7.5, 8 mm-hmm. with him. And as a first-round pick, I hope that happens. Maybe a 5.5, I guess. You know, a little more just based on the athleticism and the upside. But you start to see where there's a lot of guys in that 5 range all of a sudden on this line.
Yeah, so for me on Connerly, again, I like him. I think he's got a chance. I'm a 4 in terms of confident, though. Because, again, I think he could absolutely have a really nice year and we'll laugh at my view or we'll laugh at this PFF view later on. I could also see maybe with a new system and some hesitation and maybe gets exploited a little bit. And now you've got to not only help your left tackle, but you've got to help your right tackle, too. And it limits what you can do offensively.
The bottom line is it's perfectly reasonable to be nervous now about this line.
Yeah.
I think getting Allegretti back at practice today was massive, and if he plays every game this season, it's a very different story. But you can't expect that in this league. Guys are going to miss time. So you're already starting from no Tunsil, and it's a damaging blow based on the totality of everything else, not just losing him. I actually think replacing him with Coleman, left tackle is okay in a vacuum. But it's everything else now where you've lost your top guard depth, and Coleman's a guy that's actually worked at center in some practices, and they don't really have a center option that I feel good about behind Allegretti until Golbin's ready sometime into the season. So dead last seems weird to me and strange, but who cares about where they ranked them? I guess the point is the point that here we go. It's big season for Jaden Daniels, and the line is a question mark.
Yeah, so if you want to get furious and say, no, they're 26th, cool. They're not up in the top, and that's kind of what I think people should expect and want and hope for up there with Denver and Philadelphia and Tampa and the Bears and the Bills, these teams that have like prioritized this, even at maybe the expense of something else, but teams with rookie quarterback, you shouldn't be skimping. You shouldn't be trying to cut around the edges.
I want to get into the numbies on how much money Spider-Man has made. It's insane.
It's a lot of numbies.
We'll do that before we get out of here. Plus, Spencer Nussbaum of The Athletic wrote a piece today. Talked to the agent for C.J. Abrams, saying he's not happy about moving to second base. We'll talk to Spencer in just a few moments right here on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile,
the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. Maintain X was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With Maintain X, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on Maintain X because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try Maintain X free at MaintainX.com. That's M-A-I-N-T-A-I-N-X.com. An Autodesk company.